Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Everybody, welcome in to Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. I am Paul Russo. Next to me, as always, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Nick Felice.
Yeah.
El Commish, commissioning four different things right now. You're a mad lad with that stuff, but you're here.
Yeah.
It's time of year for you. Got leagues in playoffs, leagues getting off the ground, a specialized league. You're a busy guy in the fantasy.
I would say the busy time of year is definitely in the fall when football, hockey, and basketball are all going at the same time.
Okay.
This is the busiest week of the year.
Sure.
With the tournament challenge, figuring all that out. You know, it's pretty hard to get 80 people's $10.
Yeah. Shouldn't say that out loud like that, but.
But, you know, it's just, you know, gathering it all and making sure it's all good. But, yeah, you know, we're getting through it. And, But you told me I surprised today. I didn't realize this was the baseball preview podcast, so I'm excited.
Well, yeah, so we kind of discussed it a couple weeks ago, I remember, because we knew that the Seoul Korea series was happening, obviously today and tomorrow morning. So I thought we decided we were going to do it today, and next week anyway is a bit, not like chaotic in the sense of like, there's so much running around, but like I'm going out of town for the end of the week. Like next week's Richmond, so I'm going to obviously down to that as usual. So I have that to deal with. We'll have March Madness. We'll have baseball, obviously, with like the late breaking stuff. Who knows what will pop up with the NBA at that point? That league has somehow been relatively tame the past 10 days, which is kind of crazy. So. But either way, yeah, we'll get into the baseball stuff today. Didn't want to spend, though. We would be remiss as a sports podcast in the hotbed of the Atlantic Coast Conference if we did not spend, though, one moment laughing maniacally at the Virginia Cavaliers because that was awful. That was a performance that was like, you know the saying about how, like, Nick, like, it's a train wreck. It's hard to take your eyes off of it. That was the definition of Virginia yesterday. Like, there's no comparison. They were bad.
They went, I think I saw something, they went 50 actual minutes without scoring a basket.
51, I think, was the actual.
With halftime in the middle of it. And, yeah. I mean, that's been Virginia basketball for a while now, probably since they won the national title. Even when they won the national title.
I don't think it's that bad, though. Like that yesterday was a special kind of bad.
This last few years, they've been awful on offense. Like, getting 50 points has been a struggle for them. And showed last night. Not a good start for the ACC. I still think the ACC could have a good tournament. But it was a big night for the Mountain West. They had Colorado State wanted to come out and make a statement for that conference because they felt like they were underseeded pretty heavily in the tournament. And I kind of agree. I think they were definitely underseeded. And they made a statement last night. They wanted it more.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, if we had more time to even really kind of go deeper, we probably would go into the brackets a little bit, but it's been now 2 days, pushing three full days since, obviously, the releases and stuff like that of the bracket, and I feel like a lot of the takes for that are just kind of out there, and we are just based off of the group chat that, you know, we're in, Nick. I don't want to maybe fully assume, but I'm pretty sure me and you are on the very much so, much like, it seems like everybody is on the same wavelength of, you know, I don't know, and this is the part that I maybe agree with, look now, you know, getting a couple days away. You know, I don't know if this is the most egregiously bad worst seeding that we've seen out of the committee ever, but certainly in recent memory, it's the worst, and You know, I think there's maybe even a couple at-large teams in there that you can kind of question about. Like, you know, the main one for me is just going to be Michigan State this year. Although, you know, they do have a couple things in their favor, I guess. You know, a couple of the sortable stuff, like Bartorvik, the one I go to the most. KenPom kind of favors them a hair to like, get into the tournament in that sense. But, you know, they just didn't do anything eye test for me this year, anything like that. You know, the other one to me, I think that's really more glaring than not is like FAU. I thought they should be in. I didn't have a problem with them being in, but being a 9 seed is where I kind of get a little bit like, that's not right. You know, yeah. I'd say out of the major stuff that has been talked about a ton that I would go remotely near at this point, those would probably be the two. But like the Mountain West, I said kind of probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, like, they were going to be a six-bid league. They got six bids, but not in the traditional sense, and I certainly don't think Colorado State and Boise State, for that matter, should have been playing games, for sure.
There's that problem, and then there's also the Big East.
Yeah. I mean, that's bigger, yeah.
They all get a top-three seed.
Yeah.
And the rest of the conference doesn't even make the tournament. I mean,
as the second toughest conference this year, or second best as well. Just wild.
This is probably the worst. Not the field. I mean, you could give or take on Virginia and Seton Hall and all that, but the seeding was.
The seeding was bad. Yeah, was
by far the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move off of that then. Since, like I said, everybody's pretty much in agreement on it. There's no way to really get around it.
To the real show.
Let's get to our baseball
fantasy baseball draft. Last night?
We did. I had the 7th overall pick. I'm not a fan of getting marooned out in the middle, as I call it, of
drafts. Especially with 14, man. Lee.
Yeah. Another thing that I want to circle back to with you off air. Shake my fist. Anyway. Yeah, I got J-Ram at 7. Pretty happy about that.
So. You had him last year, I'm pretty sure. You've had him a couple of years.
Until he stops hitting the baseball at a successful clip.
Cleveland signed him? No?
Yeah, he's under longish term. I mean, this was probably, I think pre-pandemic, he signed like a 7 or 8 year deal or something like that.
But there was rumors he might get traded.
Yeah,
That's correct. Yeah. They better not trade him.
No. All right, let's start actually in 2023 quick to preview 2024. Okay. First year that we had the new, quote-unquote new, now they aren't new rules, in place with the pitch clocks, stuff like that. Overwhelmingly, fairly successful year in terms of that. Viewership up, attendance up. I'd say the fun was up. I mean, it was probably the most fun baseball season we've had in a while, just collectively. And I think, you know, maybe overarching into 2024, I think that continues. I think we saw it a little bit last night into, well, I guess this morning, really, rather, with the first game. And not to say single a guy out, because I know he's going to get talked about a ton, and we'll talk about him obviously a little bit, you know, perpetually anyway throughout the year, let alone today. But like Shohei Ohtani gets a single and steals right away on the first pitch. Like that, again, work. These rules are working in favor of what we intended them to do. I mean, Ohtani can run, but I doubt we would have seen that 2 years ago, right? Where any batter, for that matter, would get a hit and go on the first pitch right away. Probably helped a little bit that the pitcher was Yu Darvish in this scenario, but either way.
Not to interrupt you, did you get up this morning to watch that game?
Didn't get up early, in essence, to wake up deliberately to do it, but when I was up, I ended up watching. I was able to catch the ball through Jake Cronenworth's glove, which is a very odd and anomaly thing, which you know, it does happen time to time. I feel like it probably happens like a handful of times a year. It's just like one of those things where I think just because it was on, you know, ESPN, albeit at 6 o'clock in the morning East Coast time, you know, when it started, you know, probably got a little bit better airplay than it would have, not to shoot these guys, you know, into the ground, but like Kansas City, Colorado at, you know, July 23rd, you know, type thing. So.
I had to go to the bathroom this morning. It was so happened to be a 5.
As one does.
It so happened to be 5:50 in the morning, so I watched the first 2.5 innings and then fell back to sleep. But, yeah, saw the start of it.
All right.
Glasnow was looking good. I surprised he only made it 5 innings. He was looking good to start.
I looked down quick, Nick, not I've been getting, have you been getting more robocalls lately and shit?
Yes.
God damn, dude. They are brutal right now to me.
Yeah, they're some good friends.
The do not call list does not work. Anyway.
Yeah.
But back to baseball.
I was surprised to see the box score this morning when I watched the first two and a half. I watched two innings of Glass now, but, and he looked pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one step from 2023 that really stood out to me, and I don't think we'll necessarily maybe see this in 2024 in that sense. So, we didn't have a single team finish at 500 last year, 81-81. We didn't have
really?
That at all.
I didn't realize that.
But the collective league average was 81-81, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy. I don't think I've ever have really seen that, or maybe just haven't paid close enough attention to that type of stuff and noticed it that way, but it was pretty crazy.
Shouldn't it always be around 81-81?
Well, in theory, right? But I think for me it was the fact that we didn't have anybody actually finish at 500 last year.
That was the average.
And the average was 500 last year. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy when you think about it. There's actually more teams that finished above 500 last year than below it, which I think kind of – look, I know the one division that sticks out the worst of it is the AL Central, for example, because they only had the one team – above 500, but the AL East had four above 500. The AL West had three teams above 500. The NL East had three above 500. The NL Central had three above 500, and the same with the West. So,
not bad. Not to go back to math, shouldn't it always be 81-81, the average? Since it's a loss and a win in every game?
I guess. I mean, you would think, right?
Yeah, it should always be 81-81.
It just is one of those things, though, to
me. But it's just the idea of no one
visual, like, element of it.
But
like,
nobody finished 81-81.
Right.
But shouldn't it always be 81? Because you're always going to win and a loss every game.
I suppose, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a visual of it for me. That was just
but
like,
no team finished 81-81. Right. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
So. Yeah, last year was a year where I think the youth kind of took over a little bit more, kind of secured their foothold a little bit.
I think it's going to happen more this year.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it's going to happen way more this year. What division do you want to kind of get into first year, Nick? You know, I'll let you take the pick here of which division we'll dive into a little bit here first.
We'll go National League East.
Okay, NL East. So, I don't know if this division necessarily has the exact most firepower, but if it doesn't, it's probably number two. Braves won the division last year at 104-58. They're joined in the playoffs by the Philadelphia Phillies, Miami Marlins, the Mets, Nationals at the tail end of the division.
Jazz Chisholm making some news.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. I haven't fully been able to listen to the quotes yet to hear, but kind of sounds like based on what I hear, him and Miggy Rojas weren't exactly eye to eye. But either way, I'd say in this offseason, I don't know if the rich necessarily got richer, but Atlanta obviously is going to probably be the de facto favorites again in this division going forward. Phillies, I would say, definitely second in there. And then after that, I think – I wouldn't say it's necessarily a toss-up. Like, I still feel, all things considered, the Mets have a very interesting case to make the postseason still this year, as do the Marlins.
I was going to say, no Marlins?
The Marlins' main issue is they subtracted more than they added this offseason. And I guess as has been the case with that franchise, right, they just can't get out of their own way. It doesn't matter who the owner is or who's calling the shots. The fact that Kim Ngang is no longer with the team because they wouldn't allow her to more or less continue building what, frankly, this team is built, which is Herb's vision, is crazy to me. I look around that team and, you know, I don't know if I worry about their pitching. I don't know if I really worry necessarily about some of that stuff, but they just have a generalized lot of question marks, in my opinion. Like I said, it feels like they did more subtraction than addition, all that stuff. The Nationals are a team of intrigue to me only because of, like, the youth revolution with them.
But the same manager.
And I don't mind David Martinez. I think he's a good manager.
World Series champ.
I feel bad phrasing it this way, but he kind of gives me Mike Scioscia vibes, though, where it's like, don't know if he's just kind of hanging around at this point because it's like ownership knows he's like at least good and competent enough or like what. If you remember like the deal with like the Angels there, especially towards the end, like the final like handful of years was just like, I don't know if Scioscia is like, is he actually good type deal. But the Nationals, like, they're going to have a young team this year. I think there's going to be some growing pains still, but like the prospects they got, like, they're great. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk around, like, because, like, I know it's, like, the Yankees, but, like, Spencer Jones, right? Like, people are going to need to know who this James Woods kid is coming up for the Nationals because, like, he is a big kid, lefty, sweet stroke. I don't know if we'll see him at the big league level this year at all, but, like, I know locally we'll see him in Rochester, and I'm pretty excited for that. But, yeah, the East, very top-heavy, I'd call it, in terms of actual chances of playoff aspirations. Braves mainly, Phillies mainly. Mets maybe the Marlins, probably not the Nationals.
See, I agree with you on the Braves. I think the Phillies could contend.
Okay.
For a division championship.
No, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's it for the division.
Okay.
I think the Marlins is it for the playoffs. I think the Mets and Nationals are not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think you're a little too high on the Mets. I think they're going to be bad.
I don't know if it's necessarily too high on the Mets. I think I'm going to have to be proved otherwise mostly on offense. They're pitching. There's going to be some question marks. I mean, Senga's already done for the
that's the
I don't want to call it the front half of this year, right? But if he's dealing with dead arm and the stuff that they're saying, it's
that's I'm looking at the team.
Yeah.
The starting rotation.
It's I wouldn't say it's bleak. I've seen teams with worse pitching attempt to make runs and have gone to make runs.
Senga's 31.
Right. It's the fact that I looked down at the Newswire today, and Jose Buto is going to start the year at AAA at Syracuse. And if you're the Mets, I think you got to just keep him up at this point because, like, you already know what you're getting out of Magel. Like, they named Magel fifth starter. I'm like, oh, God. Like, really? Like, what are we doing? You know?
Senga's a big loss for them rotation-wise. And then there's just three question marks. Cervinho, Quintana, Minaya. I think the best
shot... call Luis Severino?
Severino?
Yeah, what'd you call him?
Severino?
You call him, like, Cervinho.
Cervinho? Severino? They know who I'm talking about.
Do they?
The only one I really have any sort of confidence in is Quintana.
Right.
Minaya has been downhill lately. And then, of course, there's the whole Pete Alonso contract. Is that going to be an issue?
Yeah. And that's kind of playing out already. Boris Client. Yeah, it's probably not going
to
be
it's nice to see Edwin Diaz healthy, though.
Right.
That would be nice. But can they get there to him? Can they get to him is the question.
I don't know if it's so much that. And I don't know.
You think they can they give him a lead to get him to the night?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be that guy with it, but, like, if there's a perfect example, it'd be a guy like David Bednarz with the Pirates with you. I mean, like, can they get to him? Like, Bednarz still gets, like, 27, 28 saves a year. Like,
that's the one thing, know. People, fantasy baseball tip, if you want right. out there. The best closers, the closers on weaker teams. Because
right.
when they win games, they're closer games.
Right.
And they're going to win 60 games, you know? But I don't know. I think the Mets are in the cellar. I think the Nationals are not that much better. But I like the National young players. I like C.J. Abrams. Yeah. I like Dylan Cruz coming up. Mm-hmm. I already like their pitching with Mackenzie Gore and Josiah Gray. And the back end of the rotation, I mean, they got Trevor Williams. So we'll see what happens there. I mean,
forgot Kyle Finnegan.
Kyle Finnegan. They got Patrick Corbin. It's been so
well. Bad. I mean, you forget one other young guy there for them. That's Cade Cavalli. He should be healthy. I don't think he'll be ready to go at the start of the year, but about May or June, he should be back and going. So,
I mean, Joey Gallo. on the Nationals now, but
oh God. Really?
I just
that's
said
who it, you went with.
I just said his name. I didn't say anything about him. But they got some weak spots, obviously. That's why they're not going to make the playoffs. But I think the Marlins have a shot. I like what the Marlins have. You know, obviously, Yuri Perez already having some problems again. I mean, if last year was just him at innings limit. Now it's right. Now he's got injury. Yeah. So, but they got a lot of young arms on that Marlins team. It's hitting. That's the biggest problem with the Marlins. Can they hit the ball?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, I don't know, it looks like Sixto Sanchez looks all right. Max Mayer is going to be back this year. I mean, the Sandy Alcantara rebound, you know.
Hopefully.
That's the thing. It's weird. I feel like kind of the opposite is because of the way the rotation's been the past couple of years where it's like, I trust them enough when they're there, but it's like, are you going to be able to go the full distance? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where I kind of zig. Like, I feel like on offense, I don't have to worry as much. I mean, Luis Arraez, it's very apparent you don't have to worry about him. He's now backed this up through, like, 3 years. You know, Jake Berger, I'm assuming he's going to be able to continue what he did last year with both the White Sox and obviously the Marlins at the deadline. They got a couple other guys. I mean, I'm a Brian De La Cruz guy.
Solaire.
So, you know. But that's what I meant by, like, they didn't add anybody. They only subtracted. Like, Solaire's gone, you know. I don't know. I that's the thing, though. That's where I agree. Like, I still think the Braves probably win the division. You know, their additions in this offseason were kind of, I wouldn't want to call it strange, right? But, like, they trade away Vaughn Grissom for Chris Sale. You know, they bring in Duval late on his, like, what is it, his third stint with the team now? Or fourth stint? Third or fourth stint, I think, right?
Bring in Tim Anderson.
Oh, you're talking about the Marlins here.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I didn't realize you jumped.
Well, I was just kind of talking about, in general, at that point, back up towards the top with, like, Atlanta.
No.
You know, Phillies more or less kept everybody locked in. They didn't move off the core too much. They didn't move away from the core too much. They kept everybody locked in. Their only subtraction was Rhys Hoskins, and he was out pretty much all year last year. So it's like, you know, you can survive without him. He's out in Milwaukee now, but
I think he'll have a good year in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I mean, it's
good ballpark.
I think the Phillies do contend with the Braves, but, like, I just think the Braves just kind of have, like, that proven until otherwise thing.
I got a hot take
for the moment.
Got a hot take for you. Braves rotation's overrated.
Ooh.
Told you it's hot.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, though.
Charlie Morton's old.
Sure, right, obviously.
Spencer Strider, not to make any.
You think there's going to be some bigger regression this year?
He gives me, not that it could be this year, he gives me Tim Lincecum vibes.
Okay.
I have a nice stretch. He's a shorter guy, strikes out a lot. Smaller guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, he's giving me Tim Lincecum vibes. But Tim Lincecum had a nice stretch of 3 years in a row there, whatever, three, four, five. Right. So we'll see what Strider does. Max Fried's good. Elder didn't even make the rotation.
Yeah, he's going to start there at Triple A.
I think they got some question marks in that rotation. But the lineup?
I don't disagree.
Top to bottom, best lineup in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with the pitching, right? I mean, Soroka's looked good this spring, but, you know, he's been meandering, as we call it, for the past year and a half, kind of, right? I mean, Smith Sawyer, you hope that he figures it out. Yeah, I mean, you're kind of relying on a lot of, I'd say, question marks and hopefully durability. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Strider, a lot of his strikeout numbers came at the start of the year last year.
Yeah.
He
started getting hit at the end.
Yeah. I mean, not even at the end. I mean, this was like end of June where it became noticeable. So, I don't know. I'll take the pick at the next division. And you talked about him kind of a little bit there at the end. So, let's stick in the NL. Let's go with the Central. Brewers win the division last year, followed by the Cubs, the Reds, Pirates, and Cardinals. Now, it's pretty interesting because going into the season this year, the Cardinals appear to be the
favorite out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I just don't get it. I was going to say, like, yeah, the favorite. I was trying to come up with the right word for it because a lot of people are predicting them to win the division. And don't get me wrong, I can see why. But I also see why for every team in every division. I see a why. Except for maybe the Colorado Rockies in the NL West. But, by the way, not to spoil too much, I think they are going to be the worst team in the MLB this year, the Colorado Rockies. But anyway, back to the actual division at hand here. Me and you talked about this like well over a month ago when in our group chat where I forgot who it was, but we were both kind of listening to something. I think it might have been MLB Network, kind of simultaneously in opposite ends of the world, as I call it. And they talked about how like great St. Louis is going to be this year. And I'm just like sitting here going like, huh? Because they trade away a couple of their quote-unquote bigger pieces at any given time, right? Like Tyler O'Neill is the one that sticks out the most to me. Like if you were to ask me 2 years ago, if you were to ask you 2 years ago, the Tyler O'Neill would be traded away from the Cardinals, we would have called you crazy, right? Like this was like one of their quote-unquote stalwart pieces moving forward. But like,
I hate him.
But like, you bring in Sonny Gray. It's not a knock on Sonny Gray because I'm a big Sonny Gray guy. He's going to be good. I think he fits the mold there well. But like, he just doesn't push the needle for me. And I think a lot of people are operating under the assumption that Arenado is going to rebound. And, you know, Goldschmidt did rebound at the end of last year, but you hope that he has another full year of being Paul Goldschmidt of old. And other than that, they are relying on a lot of young guys, more so than maybe a lot of other teams in the big leagues, to actually take the leap and be that good. Like, and I can give you the one player in my mind that is good. It's just that they've already messed with them so much mentally, I'm worried about him. Jordan Walker. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a kid who I know is good, but they had him up at the start of last year. He's hitting above 300, and they sent him down because they wanted to bring veterans and have veterans play.
Yeah, they've ruined him.
Like,
it's what, not over for him. But
no, and that's the thing. Like, I don't understand why people think the Cardinals are going to win that division. I think they finished basement again. I don't think it's a question to me, mm-hmm. if I'm being completely honest.
Well, you know, I know a lot about the NL Central. I watch it all the time, and I will say before I start ragging on these teams I hate, I will say the fan bases in this division is the best in all of baseball.
Ooh.
You got some of the best fan bases, Milwaukee, St. Louis, the Cubs, when good, Pirates and Reds, also great fan bases. Some top five fan bases, they're all in the top 10, in my opinion, in the league. So that's just a great division. Best division in baseball, just the most fun. And it's going to be the most competitive division, I think, this year as well. So what I'll say about the Cardinals is the magic's gone. The St. Louis Cardinals magic is over with. They used to bring up all these guys and they'd hit, and they'd go elsewhere and they wouldn't do anything. Like Randall Goodrick. Yeah, Matt Adams and
the one that always sticks out to
Steven
me.
Steven Piscotty, Colton Wong.
I know the one that sticks out for me as always is what's his name there? Alan Craig. No.
Alan Craig,
yeah.
Alan Craig, another one.
Yeah, he even stopped hitting in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like
and these guys, they go somewhere else and they don't hit. And then it's all about the development in that system. But I think it's worn off and now these moves they're making. They went out and bought a rotation this year, and I don't think it's any good.
No.
Sonny Gray was the one spot, and he's hurt already. Mm-hmm. Kyle Gibson's old.
Yeah.
He's getting up there.
Lance Lynn,
who Pirates always hit him, so I've never thought he was that good. They always seem to hit him. And it's not going to be a great homecoming for Matt Carpenter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's terrible now.
Right.
Lars Nubar's already hurt. Jordan Walker, like you've said. They've kind of ruined him, but he's only 21 years old still. So, and
I mean, they're already talking about platooning Nolan Gorman. Like, what are we doing? You know, like, I don't know.
It's just,
I don't know what they're doing.
I know you won't agree with me on this statement because I know you like your Brewers, but I think
you have no idea where I'm going this year with this division.
Really?
No. Nope.
Because I think for the first time in my life, because the two teams I hate the most in this division is the Brewers and the Cardinals. Cardinals number one, not even close. And I think for the first time, they might both be last place, both of them. They might both be in the bottom two for the first time in my life, and I cannot wait. Last year was the first time Pirates have ever been better than the Cardinals since 1999. So
right.
I'm hoping this is a Reds-Pirates-Cubs race. That's what I think is going to happen this year.
So I think it's going to be a pretty tight-knit race between those four teams, actually. I'm being completely honest with you.
I remember Craig Council now the Cubs.
Right.
That's the big storyline.
Well, it's one of the big storylines in this division, as I will call it, because I think the overwhelming division storyline is actually the youth movement in it. I think, look, the Pirates have a ton of it. The Reds have a ton of it. Mm-hmm. The Cubs, not as much. They're kind of like one of the weird ones where it's like their ones are actually like a lot of times now on the pitching end of it, like Justin Steele, for example. If you don't know his name, I'd recommend getting used to it. I think not to give too much away, wouldn't be surprised if he's the NL Cy Young at the end of this year. But
he hit a good shot last
anyway. And even the Brewers, who we have this perceived idea that their window might be closed. I mean, they're youth. I mean, they get, in theory, a healthy Garrett Mitchell for a whole year. Sal Frelick. They got a lot of young players. You know, William Contreras. It's one of those things where I'd imagine they will – I can't imagine they go quietly into the wind. You know what I mean? But I'm being honest with you, though. I think this division comes down to, and these two teams haven't really even squared off against each other in the sense, Nick, since probably the 70s, technically, even though they were kind of on the come up in that, like, 1990 window. I think it honestly comes down to Cincy and Pittsburgh this year. I really do.
Really?
Yes.
You're really going to say that? When my favorite baseball game of all time is the 2013 wild card game? Are you kidding me? Reds, Pirates? But I get your point.
I believe that we are entering an era of Big Red Machine 2.0 and We Are Family 2.0 type thing.
I agree.
My biggest concern with both of them oddly comes into the pitching space of it.
I can see that.
You know, but I don't think it's anything that just can't be worked out over time in that sense. The Reds have a bit more of what I would call a solid ground pitching-wise at this point. It's only because, like, Hunter Green has more experience, right? And you'd hope that Nick Lodolo comes back and is healthy enough. Stuff like that. Graham Ashcraft can kind of figure it out a little bit better to the point that you don't have Frankie Montas be your de facto ace. In that sense, right?
Right now he is.
The Pittsburgh one's really interesting to me because I feel like it's a little bit the same as what I said last year, where I don't have any worry about their offense and in the field. A lot of it's in that pitching and stuff like that. And look, you get Mitch Keller back for a full year. Again, probably a guy that to me is probably going to be at least in the finalist conversation for Cy Young. And I disagree with this. I know you think it might happen, but I disagree with it. I think it would be dumb if we see Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh this year. I just feel like there might be some rushing going on, but
it's gonna happen
either way.
You know,
I view these teams as, because it's a fun division, it's a competitive division. You know, I think you're gonna see the Reds and the Pirates go at it this year. I really do.
You buying this take? Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz up for MVP?
I'm with it. They both got to stay healthy, though.
Mm-hmm.
Both got to.
You know, one player on the Reds that I like that gets underrated is Spencer Steer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like him a lot. They have a lot of great young hitters.
I had him in fantasy last year. He was a late ad for me in a mid-year ad. But I had both Steer and McClain in fantasy last year as pickups, and it was great. Couldn't complain one bit.
But if it's going to come down to it, it's really going to big decision is going to be who's going to be bigger signing, Frankie Montas or Martin Perez.
Right.
Those are going to be huge.
Well, I think, you know, and it's tough because, like, I hate doing it breaking down like this, but, like, Perez is big to me only because, like, he actually gives the Pirates a lefty now. You know, there's no worry that, like, okay, where's our lefty kind of coming from here? In that sense.
The disrespect to Marco Gonzalez.
Well,
yeah.
It's not Marco, but, like, there's a lot of – He's spent more time adrift at the moment than Martin has the past couple of years. I think Marco's in an interesting spot. He could be that swing piece that the Pirates could need. I guess Martin could be too. I mean, I think the Red Sox did that with him. So
they need some pitchers.
Who knows? So yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because like we kind of only really touched on like the Cubs in that sense, and they probably had the most.
They brought back Bellinger. They did.
I don't want to call it active offseason, but they had the most headlines in the offseason only because of, like, the council situation and how they frankly handled David Ross, which was poor at best.
Where'd David Ross go?
I forgot where. I know he's coaching some. I forget where. But
But
it's one of those things where, like, they completely botched it, and I think they realized it a little bit too late. You bring back Bellinger, albeit, again, on, like, a semi-discount of sort, but that's just because he was a Boris client and caught in a Boris situation. You know, the Cubs, they should be good enough to, like I said, still kind of contend and compete, but the worst place you can be is average, and they just strike me as a very average team still in that sense. Like, I didn't think they were going to be bad. Like, the people who thought they were going to be bad last year, I kind of raised an eyebrow at, because it's like,
well,
really? Because like I think they'd rather be bad than be average.
I don't think the winners division is gonna have 90 wins, so
yeah, that's a tough part with it too, right? When I talk about like the youth, how I expect the youth to kind of take over in this division, like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, 85 would not be surprised got the division. I mean, 92 got the division last year, but the Cubs and the Reds had 83 and 82, and then it's not like Pittsburgh was far behind with 76. So, I mean, it's a very tight division in that sense.
But we both agree Cardinals and last.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how the Cardinals are. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
So, all right, back to you, Nick. What division do you want to go with?
We'll go American League Central.
All right. This division intrigues me, but kind of for all, like, maybe the wrong reasons of sorts. Although I think there's going to be – I think it's kind of going to be like the NL Central in a way this year. I think you're going to see the Royals. My main issue with the Royals is I'm not the only one kind of pinning them to have like a breakout year, which is the frightening part. I think you're going to see them in Detroit have some pretty good years. A lot of youth on both those teams. I've been able to see – the Detroit youth in person now for the past couple of years every now and then. And if you don't know who Riley Green is, or Kerry Carpenter, or Tarek Skubal, Alex Lang, I hope Casey Mize is healthy. But there's a lot of other guys like Colt Keith, guys like that who get used to the names, I would assume. A.J. Hinch, the manager there, I'm very high on A.J. Hinch still. That being said, and I know they did not get the division last year, they end up in third behind Detroit. Part of me still feels like it's Cleveland's to lose in that sense this year. The Twins win the division last year, and I don't see how they can repeat. Am I off base with it? Like, they lose Sonny Gray, obviously, in free agency. Their pitching staff still, to me, is pretty good, like, especially on the rotation side of things, right? Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan. They have a couple other guys there. You know, I just feel like the position players are always such a question mark for them now. I mean, Byron Buxton is probably going to go down as the biggest what-if of our generation at this point in terms of just pure talent. And it's not of his own doing, right? You can't control injuries, but like...
Is he going to stay healthy?
Right, and he's already got dinged up this spring, apparently. Is Royce Lewis going to be healthy the whole time? Like,
go out and get Carlos Santana.
But like, yeah, like, okay, cool, you got Carlos Santana. It's like... And
they got Christian Vasquez last year.
Yeah, but like that's what I'm getting with the Twins. Like I don't see it for them this year. And I get it. Like you could make the same case that for Cleveland that I'm making for Minnesota. But I just view Cleveland as like their pitching staff is good enough where it's like I don't have to worry so much about them, just like the Twins. But like their position players, like I just view them as better. Jose Ramirez, like, knock on wood, I don't think we've never really seen him go down. It's very apparent Stephen Kwan is not going anywhere. Andrés Giménez, not Ahmed Rosario, he's hanging out in Tampa Bay now. Andrés Giménez, bit of a down year last year, but I don't think he's going anywhere. The Naylor brothers are here to stay. I guess I just view Cleveland as just kind of being the team that is better suited to be in control at the top of that division right now. And at that point, that's where I view Detroit and Kansas City kind of coming in with the youth and kind of figuring it out as they go along a little bit more, as they did last year, especially on the Detroit side of things. And then the White Sox are just such a mess. I don't think they're going to be as bad as the Rockies. Like I said, I think the Rockies are going to be the worst team in baseball, but like I think the White Sox might give them a run for their money this year, that's for sure.
There's still one other team out there.
Who?
They're in the AL West.
Oh, you think Oakland?
We haven't got to that yet. I still think they're really bad.
I think, see, here's the thing with
the White Sox are bad.
The interesting thing about Oakland is, I'll save it for when actually we get to the AL West. For
but White Sox are a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Robert. They got, you know, they just traded Cease. They don't have Tim Anderson anymore. I mean, can get the roster to load up here, but I think it's Minnesota and Cleveland. I think that's really it. Detroit, it's just, are they ever gonna hit? Scubo had a great year last year.
Torkelson.
Yeah, the fantasy said him. I don't know how many home runs he hit last year, but 32 home runs. I think they said for him last year. It's like, Torkelson just hasn't proved it to me. Riley Green, you know, it was just his first year last year, but he hasn't really proven it yet. And they got some good players, some young players on that team to hit. But AJ Hinch is a great manager. I just don't think they have enough this year. Who's the Royals? I like what they're doing in Kansas City, getting a lot of young players in there. Still got Salvador Perez somehow. Has not retired yet, but
hanging tough.
They just signed Bobby Witt to a huge deal. I mean, they're doing the right things right now, but they're just, the rebuild's not there yet. I mean, they're not the final stages of the rebuild yet. So, and I still think Detroit's not there either yet. So, Minnesota and Cleveland are my two favorites. And you've been talking a lot about Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised they won the division. They got the better pitching. I mean, Minnesota has great pitching with, you know, Ryan Lopez. But Cleveland, I think, has got – they're pretty similar teams. I can see this coming down to the very last weekend, this race.
Yeah.
They're two really similar teams. They got some weak spots. They got some good spots. And wouldn't be surprised they win a wild card series. Mm-hmm. Don't know if they're going anywhere else after the division round, but that's baseball, baby.
All right. All right, let's go to the I'll take the AL West here. Let's stay the course. Again – kind of view this a little bit like the NL East in a way, just in terms of how top-heavy it is with the Astros, the Rangers, your World Series champions,
yep,
and the Mariners, and then come the Angels and the A's. I have a hot take. I don't think the A's finish in the basement this year in that division.
That is hot. Come on.
I think it's the Angels.
The Angels aren't good.
I think, and this is where I can do my Oakland shtick. I think that team, there's going to be so much noise around them that they kind of just do a figurative middle finger to management and just kind of go out there and just somehow look more competent than they did last year anyway. Like,
I have one question for you.
Where are they playing next year?
Where are they playing their home games?
Sounds like still Oakland, the way it sounds.
Really?
I don't know. That whole situation.
What do you like about Oakland?
Kind of wild.
Here's what I'll say I like about
it. I mean, they got some young players on there. I mean, Suri Ruiz, you hope, can figure it out for a whole season. Brent Rooker, I don't know if he's just going to be kind of like one of those one-and-done guys, but, you know, he does have some intrigue into him. Yeah, a couple other guys. That first baseman, I forget his name off the top of my head, which isn't good.
But I like the Blackburn.
They got some pieces out there. It's just there's just so much crap surrounding that team that like I think it just kind of hinders them. But I think they kind of use that to their advantage a little bit this year. I just think to kind of circle back a little bit here for that bottom portion of that division. I think with the Angels, you know, I think Oakland and justifiably so, they get a lot of that talk about them right now. But like the Angels are such a freaking mess right now. Like. And I don't think a lot of people maybe fully realize it, like, in a casual fan sense. But, like, you have a meddling owner. You have, frankly, I don't understand what their GM, you know, Seisen's kind of doing. I just.
Ryan Noda's his name.
Yeah, Ryan Noda. I'm a big Ryan Noda guy.
I think I meant Miguel Andujar's had a nice spring. I wish the Pirates would have kept him.
That's where he is?
Yep, he's in Oakland now.
Anyway.
But the Angels are a mess.
I think losing Ohtani is going to, I don't know about full-fledged dark cloud over the whatever here, but like,
I think Rendon is more of the cloud right now.
Is he being the cloud or just being the realist? Like, that's the thing with them. So I don't know. I think, you know, luckily with the NL or the AL West, there's enough positives out of the top three teams that they can kind of help, at least in terms of baseball play, kind of mask over those two teams.
I like Mickey Moniak, but can Mike Trout stay healthy?
Right. Does Mike Trout want to stay healthy?
They got that Nolan Schanell guy who they drafted last year and played. Zach Needle is not a nice little player. I like Patrick Sandoval.
I mean, you get Logan Ohapi for a full healthy year.
Sign Robert Stevenson in the bullpen.
Yeah.
They have Tyler Anderson. Nah, they're not that great. But the question that Paul proposed, they're going to be worse than Oakland. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. I see maybe 66 wins for the Angels and maybe 62 wins for Oakland. I mean, these aren't great.
We're talking near historically bad.
Yeah, these are two bad teams. Okay. That's maybe what I see out of these two teams. The other three are just hands above a top, better than them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at the three best teams in the whole American League.
Ooh.
Whole American League.
It's a hot take right there.
Mariners are obviously led by their pitching. Mm-hmm. Rangers are led by their offense.
Right.
If they can get their pitching healthy, they could be a complete team. And the Astros are led by experience. You know, just going to the ALCS. What's it been, 7 straight years now? They've been in the ALCS. I mean, you just can't count them out for doing that.
Do you think that continues with Houston this year? I think, however, this year would be what I would call the Kansas City Chief year like this year. Where,
but haven't we been saying this about Houston for the last 2 years?
Yeah, but you have a couple more guys coming up on contract years this year and stuff like that. And
but
I think this year's officially the year where, like, I actually have some question marks about that pitching staff.
But their offense, like Alvarez, pure hitter, one of the best in the game. Kyle Tucker's only getting better. Jeremy Payne didn't impress me too much last year. I thought he was going to have a better year, but
saw more slumped.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see what Evan Carter does because Jeremy Payne kind of did the same thing coming up in the World Series like that. And then, of course, you know, Altuve just signed a contract. It's probably his last contract of his career. Mm. Bregman, they're getting older.
Contract year.
Yeah, I mean, it's their pitching. I like Valdez. The rest of them, kind of question marks. Javier's good. Verlander will be back sometime. I don't know. I personally think the Rangers and Mariners are above them. But that doesn't mean they're not going to go to the ALCS. They still, come October, they're going to be tough
to
beat.
That's true. Yeah, I don't. It's really weird because, like, the Rangers is just like, yeah, that offense is really great. But, man, that pitching is like, whoo. So you don't know what day of the week you might show up with them being in the wrong spot.
What's
the
deal with DeGrom?
You know, I don't think he's ready at the jump, obviously. So
he is coming back this year, though.
I think at the tail end he can be. Yeah.
What's the deal with Scherzer?
I think for sure at least the first month, probably more.
These guys are coming back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But either way, yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Mariners are the team of intrigue here, only because I think everybody collectively thought they were going to make the leap next year, that next step, and they really numerically didn't.
They had a bad September. Yeah.
And they're kind of like one of those teams where I'm intrigued to see what they will look like more so in a calendar year than this year. Because, again, this now needs to be the year that they do make that next step. And if they don't, I think you have to make some sort of changes kind of on the fringes. You know what I mean? At that point, it becomes like your role players, quote unquote. But at that point for them, it probably becomes, you know, is Scott Service the guy then for the job at that point?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. The part that intrigues me with the Mariners, I mentioned the fringe pieces, but I could see them changing some stuff fundamentally at the core, like their pitching, for example. They don't have, like, that vet in that rotation that I think they could use.
Luis Castillo's not that yet.
Right. You know, he's still
young.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with him. Like, he's been around the league now for, what, seven? Is this his seventh year in the league?
Could be.
I think so.
Third year with Seattle. Yeah.
So, like, I guess he kind of, like, can be shoehorned into that role. But, like, he also has never exhibited, like, he wants to be that role. Like, that's part of it, too, right, where I think you look around the league, and I think that's kind of, like, the thing. Like, the Pirates kind of achieved that a little bit this year with Martin Perez. Like, that's where it kind of fits kind of nicely with him, for example.
Helps that World Series experience.
Right.
Him and Chapman.
Right, but, like, it's not so much that. It's just how to, like, handle yourself. Like, when... Like, if
he's things been aren't, a starter for
if,
a long
right, time. If things aren't going your way, like, you can't just keep humming it in there at 99 Especially and expect it to work.
Yeah, he's a perfect guy. He's been right. In the up and downs of his career.
Right, right. Like, the Mariner, like, Castillo never has really dealt with that too much. And that's where I view it as, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the right guy that would kind of fit there. The only name that kind of comes to mind and, like, even though I don't think it's, like, the right guy. Like, a guy like Wade Miley kind of fits that role to a degree, yeah. Even though I don't think he fits what the Mariners' just, culture is. So
Luis Castillo is talented enough to be an ace, but he's not the leader of the right. of the pitching staff. Yeah. He's not a leader.
Right. I mean, I think that kind of already falls on, like, Logan Gilbert in a way.
Him or Kirby.
Yeah, so. All right, we got two divisions left. Probably your two least favorite, Nick. Which is kind of surprising. So
I'll go.
Which bullet would you like to take down first of our final two?
We'll save the best for last. NL West.
So NL West is what you want right now. Okay. So the NL West, obviously, as we know, shoehorned by the Dodgers at the top. Although the main storyline ended up being the Diamondbacks last year because of the World Series run.
Dodgers in first place at the moment right now. Too.
Dodgers are in first place at the moment at 1-0. Padres in the basement at 0-1.
So the Rockies could say they're not in last.
Have to eat some rocks right now. Looks like the Padres are the worst team in baseball right now. But in all seriousness. And then, you know, this division gets a little late boost because of, you mentioned the Dylan Cease trade to the Padres from the White Sox. And, oh, by the way, Blake Snell signs with the Giants. We finally have him signed finally. Him and Chapman. Matt Chapman in this situation. Both Boris guys. So the Giants make a late I'll call preseason push because it's not the offseason anymore, really.
Chapman went to the Giants, right?
Yes, correct. So, it's interesting. Again, it kind of sucks I'm phrasing it this way because it's like the Dodgers just kind of until proven otherwise type thing, I think, get this division done again.
How many years in a row?
But, years 10? In a row? Jeez.
At least 10.
No, did the Giants not get one in there at all?
I don't know.
Either way.
It's been a while. Also, the Giants haven't won a World Series in 10 years.
That's fair. But I think this year is a big question mark of that pitching staff. Now, obviously, Glasnow, he came out, looked great this morning. But, you know, does he stay healthy the whole year? And then after that, it gets a little bit sideways because, like, Walker Buehler, we know, won't – I don't know if he'll ever be like what he was when he first came up in that sense, right? But, like, I guess that kind of fits the bill, too, with what I was talking about with Soroka for the Braves, maybe, in essence. Either way. But their pitching, for me, the Dodgers, especially that rotation, kind of gives me some question marks because you're relying a lot on the youth and whether or not they'll step up. And I know, like, we just got done talking about a few divisions where I do expect them to step up. But, like, for a team that's literally built to win now, it's a lot of trusting on guys who don't know how to do it, you know? And you look at the teams surrounding them, the Padres, who sold off and then bought in. don't know what the MO is exactly there. It looks like they're just trying to retool, not so much rebuild. I think, in theory, the Giants should contend. In theory, right? Same with the Diamondbacks. And there's just the Rockies who they're like the dragon meme, the dragon head meme, who are just out here being the clowns. So, but yeah, I just feel like the Dodgers still kind of, I wouldn't say have a stranglehold. Definitely not a stranglehold, but just feel like they are the ones still at the controls of this division more than anything else.
Yeah, so I looked at the Rockies for 2 seconds. They're pretty bad.
You're just like, yeah, you might be right.
I mean, I like Freeland and Marquez, but it's hard to pitch in Coors Field.
Right.
80, whatever, how many times starts you get there. But, yeah, they're definitely last. I'm not too sold on the Padres. I think Juan Soto is going to be a big loss. Obviously, they have all those names still in that lineup with Tatis and, you know, Bogarts and Machado. And the rotation, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, Paul. The rotation, not that good.
You're talking about the Dodgers, right?
Padres.
Oh, the Padres.
The Padres have a lot of names in that rotation. Let me hear me out.
Okay.
Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, you know. Blank on the other names. Who they just get? Dylan Cease. Names. These are guys that have played in the major leagues.
They're dudes.
Yes, they played. But are they it?
Are they dudes?
Yeah. Are they like legit pitchers? You know, are they gonna put them over the top? Hasn't really worked lately. People forget. I mean, even I just forgot. They made the NLCS 2 years ago. I think that's one thing that needs to be remembered by this Padres team. But the Padres want a World Series. They have built so many teams over the last 2 decades. They want that World Series championship, and they just haven't had it. So we'll see what they do. But it's the Dodgers division to lose. I like to think the Diamondbacks, we got to remember, weren't an elite team in the regular season last year. They got hot at the right time, made the World Series. Winning those 2 games in Philadelphia is a really great accomplishment in game 6 and 7 in the NLCS last year. But I just, in a regular season 162-game format, I don't see any of these teams staying within 15, 20 games of the Dodgers.
Right.
Now, do you think the Dodgers' rotation is a little overrated?
Yeah.
I do a little bit too. But it's not enough to make them terrible.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. The division, I mean, it's got a lot of question marks. Glasnow's got to stay healthy. Yamamoto hasn't thrown a pitch yet until tomorrow morning. Kershaw's obviously old. Walker Buehler didn't have a great year last year.
And outside of that, I mean, you're relying on some younger guys who just didn't really have it last year either, you know?
And they got some question marks in that lineup. Let's not go on a limb and say they're the best lineup in baseball. 1 through 3. That's pretty hard to stop. 1 through 3. I mean, Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts. Like, come on. Teoscar Hernandez had an awful year last year by his standards. And strikes out way too much. Gavin Lux coming off the injury. James Altman's still young.
Next month, so you hope returns to his old self.
And Will Smith. I mean, some people like Will Smith. He's up.
You're not getting jiggy with it?
No, not really. Not as a cleanup hitter. But... Question marks. There's question marks on this team that they say is given the World Series. A team that hasn't won an actual World Series since 1988. Let's not forget that either. A Shohei Ohtani who's never made the playoffs.
Now you're about to get people riled up.
Let's not forget that either. So let's not just hand these LA Dodgers the World Series already, all right? You can have your 12th straight division title. Go ahead, take it. Let's see if you can actually win in the playoffs. Last time I checked, they didn't win a playoff game. I'm pretty sure they've won one playoff game in the last 2 playoffs. So, that's what I have to say.
All right. Well, we're running long already, so let's get to the AL East.
Oh, shoot.
championed by the Baltimore Orioles last year, Tampa Bay, the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Red Sox following behind. Yeah, I mean, Baltimore's youth now combined up with some experience too. I'd say that puts them in the leader in the clubhouse again for the division this year. Really does. It's interesting because I envision the Yankees being up there as well. But that's a lot of in theory stuff with them. It's just weird to me because, like, Toronto doesn't excite me this year. Tampa Bay doesn't really excite me this year. Boston doesn't excite me this year. I don't want to make
it excited, man.
I don't think it's going to be like a two-horse race in that division. But, like, I just see Baltimore just being still at least a head above everybody else at this point. The Yankees obviously are already dealing with some health stuff with Garrett Cole. Aaron Judge, I know, came back into the lineup today for spring. I mentioned Tampa Bay. They kind of had the typical Tampa Bay offseason, right? They ship off some guys, and they're going to reload, I'm sure. And, of course, by doing this year in, year out, we should know the deal by now. We'll see them contend and be a division, you know, foe for everybody. just because we're talking about how they sent people away, even though they pluck everybody somehow and keep it going. Yeah, Boston sold off yet retooled at the same time. So, like, I don't know what to fully expect from them, but I still think it's probably fifth in that division, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They did finish 78-84 last year. So, and they're the only team below 500 in the division last year. So what does that tell you? Everybody's pretty close enough anyway that they're all kind of within each other. I don't know. The one team that really does nothing, though, for me in this division this year is Toronto. And I just don't know if it's the fact that, I mean, they aren't young guys in essence anymore, right? I mean, they're young, but, like, we know what we're getting from Vlad Jr. year in, year out. We know what we're getting from Bo Bichette year in and year out. We know what we're getting from Alejandro Kirk now year in and year out. Like, I can't imagine they're satisfied just kind of being as, frankly, kind of average that they have been. Like,
they need another starter.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like Gausman.
I don't even know if it's so much about pitching, like, with them in that sense. Like, starter, like, I think cut off, like, some of those letters there, Nick. I don't know if they have a star, you know? Like, and that's the thing, like, it seems like Ohtani was just kind of using them as a pawn. Like, they weren't actually, I don't want to make it sound like they weren't serious about him. I'm aware that they were serious about him. I don't think he had them as serious. You know what I mean? Like, if guys like him aren't taking your organization as serious landing spots at that point and are only using his leverage, I don't know. And that's why like, I go back to the Cardinals, like what I said about them about whatever, or the Cubs too in this. Like, being average is the worst. Like, if you're bad, at least you know you're bad. If you're good, you know you're good. But if you're average, you're just kind of there. Like, that's the worst. That's where I just feel like Toronto's at right now.
And now they got a lottery now. You don't get there's a great chance you won't get a good pick.
Right. Since the Reds got the number one pick this year, and they were frankly, what, like 500 team more or less? Like, they weren't. They were below 500, but, like, they were actually in contention for a while. Like, it's just – it's brutal being average now. It's brutal being average.
I think it's Baltimore and the Yankees. Tampa Bay would be in the conversation.
You think they finally have sold off more than they could chew, though?
They have too many injuries.
Okay.
Like, McClanahan's done for the year.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. They don't have – Boz is already hurt again. Mm-hmm. Springs is hurt. A lot of pressure on that. Taj Bradley to step up. They got a lot of young guys that need to step up now in that rotation. They've done a good job in years past. A lot of no-name guys that they need to keep hitting. Like, what's it, Harold Ramirez?
Mm-hmm. But he got sent off.
Oh, really?
He was part of the Glasnow deal who got flipped to Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay, that's a big loss. So, but they still got, you know, Randy Rosarena. What's the update on Wander Franco?
There is no update. He will not be returned to the United States.
Okay, so he's gone.
good riddance.
Yeah, so, yeah, not good. Not good, but they battled through adversity in the past. We'll see what happens. Red Sox, Brian Bale's already hurt. Bello, he's already hurt. I like Cutter Crawford. I like Tristan Casas. I like Rafael Devers. They don't have too many other guys I like. It's going to be a rough year for the Red Sox. But they hung around last year. They were hanging around 500 the most of that year. They just fell off, dipped below 500 at the end there. The Yankees, another one with question marks. Gerrit Cole hurt. Juan Soto. Marcus Stroman pitching Yankee Stadium. You know who doesn't have question marks? It's the Orioles. They have a lot of great young players. Great young hitters, and they filled the void, as most might think. I don't know if I'm sold on it yet, but they filled the void of an ace in that rotation. They got Corbin Burns. So, and then Jackson Holliday coming up. Him and Jackson Chichurro of the Brewers. How about the Jackson brothers? coming up. So part of that youth movement as well. Orioles are my favorite. I don't know if they're going to be the top team in the American League like last year. I think it's those other teams in the West. But, yeah. All right, let's get in the picks.
Fair enough. Yeah, all right. So, all too soon predictions, as we call it here. World Series winner, who do you think?
Oh, well, I think the Dodgers will not go winless this year. Because they
won. How risque of you.
Divisions, I'm going with Dodgers in the West. Pirates in the Central.
Okay.
And Braves in the East.
Okay.
And the others, I'm going with Baltimore in the East. I'm going still Twins, even though I think I was about to call them the Cavs. The Guardians.
Zombie Cavs.
Get hanging around for a little bit. And I'm going to go with the Mariners in the West. That's a pretty police bias picks. Wild cards, American League, we're going to go Texas and Houston. And the other wild card, we're going to go with Cleveland.
Okay.
Yankees out.
All
right. Did I really just put four teams of the East out?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, so let's move on. Okay. Phillies, and I think it's going to be Cubs and Reds. Did I just do four teams in the other West out? Oh, my goodness, what's going on here with these picks?
So for my divisions and the wild cards, I'm going to do Orioles in the AL East, Cleveland in the AL Central. I'm going to go with Seattle in the AL West. I think they've crossed that bridge this year. Wild cards, Houston. I'm going to go with the Yankees. And I'm going to go the Detroit Tigers. I think one from each division in the AL get through. Yep. And then for the NL, I think it's the Braves from the East. I think it's the Reds from the Central. And then got West as the Dodgers. And I think your wild cards are the Philadelphia Phillies, the San Francisco Giants, and your Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow. I mean, you didn't have to suck.
I think they get in this year.
Great. Thank you, Paul. The guy who picked Notre Dame and the Giants in the championship game.
That's true. I would like to formally apologize to the people of Pittsburgh and help Pirate fans everywhere.
So you said Astros or Rangers in the wild card?
Just the Astros.
Okay. So World Series, I'm going with Braves Mariners.
Wow.
And unfortunately, I think the Braves get it done, okay. Win the World Series. But the rotation, I'm not sold on it. They got to help me a little bit. They got to go out and get an ad.
I think the World Series this year will be Baltimore and San Francisco.
Wow.
Yep. Give me the Giants, though, to win the World Series.
And then 2 years to win it again, and then another 2 years to win it again,
and then another decade.
Interesting, the Giants. Wow,
why not?
That come from
why not? It's probably going to be wrong anyway. Who cares? I'd like to apologize to the people and Giants fans everywhere of San Francisco.
Who remembers anyway? We keep thinking you picked the Devils to win this game.
You think that? I know I didn't. So.
All right, thanks for hanging around.
Yeah, that does it for baseball preview. Nick, who are you shouting out today?
I'm going to shout out, I didn't really have one, but belated birthday, I guess. Jaron Johnson's birthday was yesterday.
Birthday to Jaron.
Yeah, belated birthday, Jaron. Happy birthday. Congrats on winning the Fantasy Football League this year.
I'm not congratulating him on that. I will say happy birthday, though, to Jaron. 29, right? Something like that. We're all 29. Mm-hmm. Who cares? We'll be back at next Wednesday. We'll probably recap the first weekend of college basketball with March Madness, obviously. Any late-breaking baseball stuff. Preview my trip to Richmond, as we usually do, because everybody cares about where I stop to eat. And who knows what else. So, wow, how about it, Nick? Another baseball preview episode. Complete.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's always a good one.
Yep. So, all right, everybody. We'll talk again next week. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk later. Bye. I can't get the video to play. There we go.